Maybe you're new to church, or maybe you're just new to our style of church, and we really believe that the God who spoke still speaks. And he doesn't just speak from the person at the pulpit, on the stage, but he speaks through all of us. And so what you've just experienced was just a word of tongues and interpretation. We just believe that God gave our sister just a word to share with us. And that word was that we've been blessed to be set aside for a time like this. At this age and time when God is moving in such an amazing way in our world, and that we've been given a responsibility to come alongside those who've decided, our youth and adults alike, to encourage them in their walk with Jesus, to pray for them, to uphold them. And so we're going to do that together. Amen? You can be seated this morning if you're not already. And I just want to ask the ladies, how's your mascara this morning? I was sitting over there thinking, I'm so glad I would just be a mess today. Just bring your own Kleenex box to church on Baptism Sunday. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever made a commitment that you didn't keep? Of course you have. We all have, haven't we? We've all made commitments to other people and commitments to ourselves that we failed to follow through on. Maybe it was breaking a bad habit, right? Maybe biting your nails or, you know, eating too late at night. Some of you are on the path of sobriety, quitting smoking. We've all made commitments to break bad habits. Maybe it was financial goals. You wanted to stop overspending. You wanted to stick to a budget. Maybe it was self-improvement. You wanted to go to bed a little earlier, get up a little earlier. Maybe you wanted to stop procrastinating. Maybe your goal was to stop putting your socks on the floor and get them into the laundry hamper. Right? We've all made commitments. I won't even talk about health and fitness commitments, right? Because we've all made those and failed to commit them. Have you ever heard of the Couch to 5K app? Anyone ever heard of that app? Right, this app promises that in just 9 weeks, it can take you from being a couch potato to a 5K distance runner. Right, from a total noob to someone who jogs. Have you ever seen like runners? Like runners are a special breed, right? They're up like early in the morning. They're out late at night when it's raining, snowing, icy, slippery. The runners are a whole different breed. And so I thought this app sounded great. It could take me. A couch potato. I'm not a couch potato, but a noob. And it can get me running 5K in just 9 weeks, three times a week, 9 weeks. That's 27 runs. I thought, I could do this. I could do this. And so I tried. Three times I committed to running 5K. And three times, I did week one three times, okay? Just being honest with you, right? Why didn't I keep my commitment? I was all in. I had a goal. I had motivation. I had a plan. 9 weeks, three times a week. I even had a playlist. You know me, you know the playlist is almost the most important part, right? And so I had all of this, and three times I was all in, and three times I only lasted a week because I got busy. I got shin splints. I lost my motivation. And I never made it to week two. Here's the thing, I wasn't lacking desire, but I was lacking commitment. See, desire gets you started, but commitment keeps you going. And so we're wrapping up a sermon series that we've been in through this fall. We've been journeying through the book of Joshua together, and it's a series we've called Strong and... I hope you got that. It's on the screen, I know, right? And so this title comes from Joshua chapter 1, when in the book of Joshua, we see God called Joshua to lead the nation of Israel from wandering the wilderness to entering into his promise in the promised land. And so three times in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. We've seen there's been a lot of reasons that he needed that. He was following as the successor to one of Israel's greatest leaders in Moses. And so he was, how many know following, when you're following someone who everyone loves and likes, right? It's a hard act to follow. So he didn't need to be strong and courageous. He was facing some formidable obstacles and opposition. We've been talking about that all through the series. And there were a lot of people depending on him. Israel's expected to be about 2 million people at the time they entered the promised land. A lot of people counting on him. And there's nothing like leading other people that magnifies all your self-doubts and insecurities. Right? If you're going to be a leader, you need to be strong and courageous. How many know you have 2 million people telling you how they think you should do it? Right? If you've ever led at the office or on your team, you know everyone's got an opinion. And those opinions all magnify your own self-doubts and insecurities. There's nothing like leading other people that challenges your determination and your commitment. If you've ever led anything, you know there's moments you think, why am I doing this? Right? What's in this for me? Why am I bearing this burden? Here's the truth we all know. It's not how you start, but how you finish. Anyone can start something, but not everyone finishes. Right? It's a lot easier to make a commitment than it is to keep a commitment. And so we come to the end of our series, and we come in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or you want to in your Bible app, if you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screen. In Joshua 24, we come to the end of Joshua's story, and we find Joshua, an old man. We find that all the battles have been fought. Israel has settled into the promised land. The text actually tells us that there's peace in the land. And so for Israel, the danger now, as we're about to see, is no longer the walled cities and the giants in the land. The danger is no longer the opposition, but the danger lies within. The danger is the temptation to drift from their commitment to God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. It says, then Joshua summoned the tribes of Israel to Shechem, including their elders and leaders, their judges and officers. So they came and presented themselves to God. He calls a town hall. He calls a state of the union. He calls all the stakeholders together, and he proceeds to remind them in the first verses of chapter 24 of all that God has done to make them a flourishing nation. He reminds them way at the very beginning how God had called Abraham out from his father's home. And Abraham had been led to this place that God would show him. He talks about how God had blessed Abraham through the miracle child Isaac, and through how Isaac, Jacob, and Esau were born. He continues to talk about Jacob's lineage and how the family tree had exploded. And even under captivity as slaves in Egypt, the people of Israel were flourishing and becoming a nation. He reminded them that God had sent Moses and Aaron to lead them out of Egypt in the Exodus. Now God had miraculously parted the Red Sea, providing their way of escape. Joshua reminded them that even after they crossed the Jordan River and they confronted Jericho, that it was the Lord who enabled their victory. Verse 12 says this, it was not your swords or bows that brought you victory. I gave you land you had not worked on, towns you didn't build, vineyards and olive trees for food, though you did not plan them. It was God who provided for them. And we come to verse 14. So, whenever you read the Bible, you got to know as a theologian, when you see so, you got to ask, so what? So what? So he's already talked about how God's been faithful throughout history. And he says, so what? He says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Fear of the Lord isn't about being scared of God. That's not what drives you away from God. The fear of the Lord is awe and reverence and wonder that draws you close to him. Fear the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord alone. I'm picturing this. This has been quite a few years now. I don't know if you've ever like moved houses and had that box, you know, in your storage room that you're like, we haven't opened that box since three houses ago. Anyone have any boxes like that at your house? Right? I'm picturing Joshua. He's saying, put away the idols that you served way back when. And I'm like, are they still dragging these boxes of idols with them? You know? I just picture like the U-Haul van. Like, just throw that in the dumpster already. He's like, get rid of the idols. Verse 15 says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or would the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, maybe you read it this way, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Talk about a rousing speech. This is right up there with the all-time greatest speeches, right? Those soul-stirring, heart-engaging, encouraging, courage-boosting speeches. Right? You think of William Wallace, you know, making that freedom speech in the movie Braveheart. Right? Or maybe you think about Maximus Decimus Meridius's vengeance speech in the movie Gladiator. Those all great speeches. And we just picture Joshua making this rousing speech. But what makes it so powerful as a speech? That's not what Joshua says. Not only what. Not only how he said it. But it's when he said it. Verse 29 tells us that Joshua is 110 years old at this time, giving this speech, you know? Choose you this day who you'll serve. Right? He's nearing the end of his life. How many know it's easy to commit to things in our youth? I love our youth committing to Jesus. It's easy to watch them though and go, you know, it's a little idealistic sometimes. Right? Sometimes we can be a little naive in our youth when we commit to things. I'm very glad for a little naivety. Right? I'm really glad you committed to some things not knowing fully how it was going to go. Right? But as you mature, you age, and you've seen some things, we tell ourselves we're just a bit more realistic now. Right? Some of the luster of the grand ideas have faded. Here's the thing, if we're not careful, so can the courage and the determination of your spirit fade if you're not careful. Joshua's warning here about the danger of fading commitment to being fully surrendered to God and his purposes for their lives. How many have a plan for your life? Anyone have a plan for your life? I have a plan for my life. My plan is this. I want to get better as I get older. That's it. I just want to keep getting better. I want to keep growing. I want to keep changing. You know, in my old age, of course I want to get older and wiser, yeah? But I also want to become kinder. I want to become more generous. I want to say sorry more. I want to listen longer. I want to be more encouraging. I don't want to be cranky and stuck in my old age, right? I want to be open-hearted and open-handed. So that means I got to keep growing. And I got to keep giving everything in surrender to God. The older I get, the better I want to become. That's my vision for my life. Anyone else share that vision? So here we have Joshua. Final chapter of his book, and it's the twilight years of his life, and he's just as strong and courageous. He's just as bold in his faith and his commitment to God as ever, because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. So at 110, we see Joshua, and he's saying, I've lived this out, and I believe it now just as much as I ever have. I still choose to follow the Lord. How many would say, you've lived it out? How many would say, I still choose to follow the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Three things I see Joshua cultivating in his life that we can learn from that will help us not just start strong, but to finish strong. Three things that will help us say, I still choose. All those people that said, I have decided. I've chosen to follow Jesus. I love the shirt on the back. It says, no turning back. How do we know that's more than just a slogan on a shirt? But it's the vision for our life. No turning back. Three things that Joshua cultivated that will help us not turn back. The first one is resilience. Resilience over resignation. Turn to your neighbor and say, I won't quit. I won't quit. To finish strong, you can't give up in the journey. To finish strong, you can't quit in the process. There were a lot of points along the way that Joshua could have quit. There's a lot of places he could have chosen to give up. We've talked about some of them, right? When no one else believed that Israel could fulfill God's promise, right? When when no one else believed that they could enter the promised land, he could have quit. The years of wandering in the wilderness. You know, the Bible tells us that was the punishment of Israel for not believing God. The years of wandering because of their disobedience. Those years, he could have turned resentful and bitter. Right? Have you ever been punished for someone else's mistakes? You know, he could have turned his back on God. He could have said, I quit. Right? But he didn't. When he faced those battles in front of him that looked ominous, in opposition that looked insurmountable, he could have said, this is it. You know, this God, seriously, this is too much. I'm out. But Pastor Riley talked about when Israel experienced defeat at Ai. In the moments of defeat, he could have said, I'm done. But Joshua's life wasn't all wins and successes. But Joshua had cultivated a character of a resilient spirit. See, resilience doesn't just mean minimizing the issues. It's not just pretending that things are all fine. You guys have seen the meme of the little dog at the kitchen table, and there's like a dumpster fire happening all around it, right? And you just say, I'm fine, it's all fine, right? That's not resilience. Life comes with both highs and lows, ups and downs. But having a resilient attitude, that means instead of getting knocked down and knocked out, you have a bounce back. You have a bounce back spirit. Ever remember growing up as a kid? I don't know if they still have them, but we used to have those punching bags. Remember the punching bags, the inflatable ones with the sand or the water in the bottom? And I don't know why it was always a clown. It was like we were being told that we had to hate clowns, right? And those clowns, the whole thing about it, if you remember being a kid, is to punch it as hard as you could, right? And to knock it down. But the thing about those punching bags is they always bounce back. They always bounce back, and no matter how hard life hit him, Joshua always had a bounce back determination. He had an attitude of resilience. How did he cultivate that resilience? It's because every time he got knocked down, he didn't quit. He didn't get knocked out, but he actually got knocked to his knees. Every time he got knocked down, he got on his knees and he sought God. And he called out to God, help me, guide me, show me the issues. Show me my shortcomings. See, the test of our faith isn't really in how we respond to our success. It's in how we respond to the challenges, adversity, the disappointments, and the defeats in our life. Resilience doesn't come from everything going right. It comes from trusting God with your next step, no matter how things seem to be going. This is a resilient spirit that Joshua had created. He said, I won't quit. Tell your neighbor again, I won't quit. The second thing we saw him cultivate, not just resilience, but character. Character over convenience and comfort. Not only did he say, I won't quit, but he said, I'll do what's right and not what's easy. He said in verse 14, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Serve the Lord alone. You know what I think are the biggest enemies to courage and commitment? Convenience and comfort. Right? If serving God becomes a matter of convenience or comfort, we'll never keep that commitment. But the character Joshua displays here in his 105th year is a character he's been cultivating since his 40s. We can see even back as he was choosing to follow God's plans and purposes. We know that story, even with no one else but Caleb supporting him. Right? Remember that story? He said, we're going to enter the promised land with the 12 spies. And 10 of them said, there's no way. It's too big, too scary, too impossible to take on. And Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit that we talked about last week. Joshua's belief was this, that if God has called us to it, then God is going to get us through it. And he was committed to that belief. And he wasn't going to let circumstances change it. Booker T. Washington said, character, not circumstances, make the man. Circumstances shape us. They influence us. But it's our character that makes us. See, commitment is built on character. Right? Because when it's easier to compromise, character keeps us committed. Right? When it's easier to coast, character keeps us faithful. And when it's easier to follow culture, our character keeps us following Christ. Joshua had cultivated resilience. He had cultivated his character. The third thing we see is that he cultivated decisions over desires. He said, I won't quit. I'm going to do what's right and not what's easy. And he says this, my convictions lead and my emotions will follow. He says, choose you this day. Decide today whom you will serve. This is a really interesting chapter. Because if you keep reading, the people say, yeah, we're all in We're all in on God, just like you, Joshua. We're committed. But instead of celebrating them, it says that Joshua looks at them and he's like, yeah, I'm not so sure. Yeah, Josh, we're all in. We're committed. And he's like, I know you think you are, but I don't know who you really are. As the rest of the chapter unfolds, he pushes back on them and he says, you have to pre-decide. Pre-decide that you're going to follow Jesus, because if you're led by your desires more than your decisions, that's what happens to most of us. We're led by our desires more than our decisions. That's the real reason we find it hard to keep our commitments. Here's the issue with being led by our desires. Our desires are unstable. Our desires fluctuate daily, even hourly sometimes. Want me to prove it to you? You ever been at the grocery store and you thought, you know what? I need to lose a few pounds. I'm gonna not buy the snacks today. Have you ever made that decision in the grocery store? And then later that night you went to the snack drawer and you regretted every decision you made. Your desires were like, I just want some Doritos right now. Right? Our desires are unstable, they fluctuate, they're influenced by our emotions, by our circumstances. Our desires are influenced by culture and by our temptations. And if we live by our desires, then our lives and our faith become unpredictable and unstable as well. Up and down faith. Here's the thing, our desires won't sustain us in hard times. And our desires won't always lead us to God. How many can say amen to that? Our decisions drive our destiny. And so our desires are meant to follow our decisions and not the other way around. See, commitment isn't rooted in our desires, it's rooted in our decisions. And so Joshua doesn't ask the people, how do you feel about following God today? How do you feel? He says, let's choose today. Decide today. Yeah. Make a choice. And as we read through scriptures, we see that Joshua is right. That Israel would go through these inconsistent ups and downs of being led by their desires and their emotions. And for generations, they would choose to follow and not follow God, this up and down thing. But Joshua, he said, as for me, as for my family, we will serve the Lord. I love this because what I see in this statement is that it's personal. No one can choose to follow God but you. As for me, he made this decision. You can only choose for yourself. I know it says, and for my family, but you can't choose for your kids. You can't choose for your parents, but all you can do is create the atmospheres and the attitudes that will lead to spiritual flourishing. He's saying, as for me, and as much as I can contribute to my family life, we're going to serve the Lord together. See, Joshua didn't just start strong. He finished strong. And it wasn't because life was perfect for him. It was because every time life knocked him down, he chose to get on his knees. And being on his knees gave him the strength to get back up. When comfort and convenience called his name, Joshua's character answered louder. And when his desires and emotions wavered, his decision stood strong. I loved people of all ages today getting in that tank and saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. And the slogan on the shirt said, no turning back. But for each and every one of you that made that decision, there will be days where you'll be tempted to fall away. You'll be tempted days when you don't feel like following Jesus. There'll be days where you'll be tempted to think that maybe it's too hard to follow Jesus. But Joshua stood in front of the people at 110 years old. He says, I've lived this life from top to bottom. And there's one decision that I'm not going to go back on. It's the decision I've never regretted. The decision is I still choose to follow God. How many this morning would say, I still choose to follow God? Anyone this morning? Amen. Here's the amazing thing. Joshua didn't even know the fullness of what God was preparing. He had only seen a glimpse of what God had in store. In Hebrews chapter 1, in the New Testament, it says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. That's what Joshua knew. But now he has spoken to us through his son. Joshua had just tasted God's faithfulness, but in Jesus, we see it fully. The God who came, who died, who rose again, and who saves all who call on his name. Here's the gospel, the good news of the Bible in just one sentence is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose to give you new life. And anyone who turns to him in faith will be forgiven and made new. Amen. This morning, I'm going to invite you to stand all across this place. This morning, you might be here, and you might be saying, I still choose to follow Jesus. It's easy in an atmosphere like this to say that this morning. I still choose. Maybe you're here, and you say, you know what, Pastor Jared, this is the first time. This is something I can sense in my heart that God is stirring. You might say, today's the first time I'm making that decision to choose to follow Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm thinking about following Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know much about Jesus, but there's something that I need to look into about this. But here's what we need to do. We all need to choose at some point. If you would you bow your head with me this morning? We're going to simply pray this prayer together. If you want to choose Jesus today, or you're still choosing Jesus today, would you say those words with me? Would you say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive my sin. Make me new. I choose you today. If that's your prayer, God hears it. He responds with grace and mercy and new life today. Let's just take a moment and worship Jesus just a little bit more this morning.